It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
Welcome to our
chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Let's get to Ime on last night's game. The Nuggets come into Houston, dominate the third quarter, and hold off the Rockets to win in a game that might have decided, certainly would have decided the tiebreaker, but the Rockets may have gotten enough distance with the Nuggets, including the tiebreaker, to at least say, okay, we're going to be ahead of them when it comes down to it. The Rockets only have 10 games to go. That was a big one last night. They dropped it without Jokic on the Nuggets. And it hurt. Here's Ime on a question that was asked about, was it the inexperience of the Rockets or something else?
I mean, I don't know if it was as much as their experience as us being sloppy and not taking advantage of some things. It did feel like a very sloppy first half. And even late in the game, we had some opportunities in transition. We don't convert there. And so felt like we were even until that third quarter, and then obviously worked our way back into it in the fourth. But just overall too sloppy, not crisp enough, taking advantage of opportunities. And then the shooting didn't help in the second half, you know, from three or free throw, missing 12 free throws.
That is beyond the complaining that I mentioned earlier. The free throw shooting is a bit of concern. And the main culprit is Alperen Şengün. It's been late and close when he misses them. It's been free throws that could put a game away that he's missed. And he's going to be a guy they lean on. There was a game against the Sixers where he did not play until they needed a rebound, and he played, and then he helped dominate the overtime. So the playoffs as the great, now washed, and according to Jimmy Butler, what did he say? Unhinged Pat Riley used to say, the playoffs tell. The playoffs tell you about your guys. So that's why, as the show has talked about, why I'm so excited about watching them. We're going to find out quite a bit about these guys because it feels like no matter who they play, they're going to see a team who has at least done it before. Unless somehow, I'm trying to think of what the team would be. I guess the Clippers, if they play the Clippers. No, they have James and they have Kawhi, but that team as a whole hasn't done much together.
Yeah, they'll have Kawhi Leonard for three games.
For a game and a half.
Yeah, and sure. Then he'll try to tough it out for one and then be shut down for the season.
Look at you saying Kawhi would try to tough it out.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
What am I talking about?
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I confused him with someone else.
Yes, if he has
confused him with Joel Embiid.
Yes.
Joel Embiid, give him credit.
He will try.
He will try to tough it out.
He will let you know how hurt he is.
Yes.
And he'll make you very aware.
And then it'll be at the detriment of the team and they'll lose.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, really. Maybe Memphis. If they play Memphis, that's another one where you just go like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a little downturn because of injuries and, of course, Jaws issues. But they were at points very early, like in Jaws' tenure, a two seed.
But they're like, they're up next.
Yeah, they're the next team. And, of course, things haven't particularly gone their way, but they haven't gone anywhere. Now health has returned to them. So whoever they face, it will be either a disadvantage or it'll just be, hey, a team much like themselves, and we'll see how they play. But you know, a guy on their staff who, at least Raheel Rajanali, who joined us on Thursday, wanted to be the head coach of Texas is Roy Alivi. Texas went in a different direction. They went with the Xavier coach.
Yeah, now, they're not old boys club like Raheel is.
Hire Roy Alivi would be an old boys club move.
He went to school when I was there? Hire him. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know the time frame for those two. I just know that Raheel would have nothing to do with the hiring process. I do know that.
I don't know. I don't know how much he donates.
Well, I know he works. He's one of the preeminent MMA play-by-play men. He works for Fury.
Yeah.
Of course, he does CityCast. I just don't know how far that money goes in terms of helping to hire the next Texas head basketball coach.
I will not be pocket watching.
I'll pocket watch. I'm taking guesses, and I'm going to say he's not a big booster, if he's a booster at all. But whoever decided Sean Miller was the right choice, they got their way. Sean Miller's the new coach at Texas. There were other names mentioned at points. People thought, hey, Will Wade hadn't signed that deal with the Wolfpack. Maybe he's going to go to Texas. But Texas had their man.
Bill Self.
Yeah.
Okay. That was one.
that's the height of delusion, I think.
Yeah. It was just like a message board. Like, they have contacted Bill Self.
And what did Bill Self say?
Hell
in
no.
return?
I remember playing you guys. We beat you all the time. Click.
Yeah. SEC, whatever. I don't have to do that. Why would I enter a tougher conference? All right. I'm dealing with the Cougs already. You think I want to enter the conference with the best regular season in college basketball history? No, I'm good. I'll just stay here and hopefully gain ground on the Cougs, who have, at this point, surpassed us. So, no Bill Self. You do get Sean Miller, who has told Xavier, appreciate you helping me with the glow up. You know, you told me to get a beard, and I got one.
Started a podcast.
Got a new haircut. Look how good I look. I used to just be a mustache guy, but now I got the beard, a fresher cut, and I'm back on the Power 4 level. So, he gets the Texas job. And, of course, the question is, do you feel like Del Conte made the right hire?
Who knows? Time will tell.
That's the proper answer. Who knows?
Especially with basketball. Basketball is, so much different than hiring in football, where basketball it is, we'll kind of see. He'll probably have a lot of really good years. He'll probably have a lot of really bad years, and then he'll get fired. That's kind of how it goes. If you look at his resume, I think he's made, his last 12 years of being a coach, because he had to sit out a year between Arizona and going back to Xavier. I think it's 7 Sweet 16s in the last 12 years for Sean Miller. That would be the most consistent stretch of basketball for Texas in its history. So I think that he's a good coach, but a lot of good coaches have gone to UT and not succeeded there. So we'll see. Or had more success elsewhere.
UT, a coach-killing program?
I guess so. I mean, I will say, actually, really, it's just Rick Barnes and Chris Beard, but he got
did that
fired
to himself
for other reasons. Yeah. Shaka Smart, he's the same guy. Losing to a 10 seed. Just same guy.
He is what he is.
He hasn't made a Sweet 16 in a decade. What are we doing, guys?
Yeah, we're living off the VCU stuff. He's like Jalen Green. He's a fine coach.
Yeah.
The VCU run was Jalen's March. That.
Yeah.
Last March, not this March. He's not been good this March.
And, give Jalen Green credit. I mean, he at least had this year's January, and he's had other stretches for Shaka Smart.
Shaka Smart.
One run.
He made a Sweet 16 last year in the Final Four run in his second year as a head coach with VCU.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been a lot of round of 64s, round of 32.
And losing to terrible seeds.
Yeah. He is a coach who will get you to the tournament. And that's pretty much the only thing you can guarantee right now with him.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Sean Miller, step up. Step in the right direction. Because, you look at his resume versus, Roddy Terry's resume, you are,
not even close.
You're okay, so Roddy Terry's the interim that got hired. So, we'll see. I mean, all of this matters is, NIL budget and stuff. And whether Sean Miller is willing to pay guys to play basketball, which there's no evidence that he's willing to.
He takes a stand. He took a stand. He didn't take a stand when it was illegal. He's going to take a stand now when it's legal. Hey, I learned my lesson.
Wait.
No, Sean, we swear you can do it now.
No. This is how they got me last time.
Someone told
I'm not
me
going back to Xavier again.
How many times will Xavier take back Sean Miller?
At least one more.
You think?
In 2032, when he gets fired from the Texas job.
There are probably some people like Xavier the first time around who deluded themselves into thinking he would never leave. But when he left, you could get, he's going to Arizona. Sean was good
replacing Lute Olson.
Yeah, Sean was good for us. He's going to Arizona. That's actually something that says something about us that we're pretty good.
Yeah.
That Arizona would come take our coach. Now, after he's left you, and he's come back to you in disgrace, and you take him back to clean up his reputation.
3 years.
I'm sure he told you, I'm not going to go back and listen to any pressers. But I would
the
not.
Introductory press
I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised if he, at some point, he said how much he loved Xavier and it's the only place I want to be.
It's home.
It's home. I'm sure he said. I'm sure he did say home at some point. Well, temporary home. It's like a foster home. Now you're forever home.
It's an apartment. Let's be honest.
Xavier was a foster. What Xavier didn't know, they thought they were the permanent. It was like if a dog was able to choose where they got to live. Xavier thought it was a forever home. Nope, you're my foster, and now I'm out. The question will be, will Texas give the pet back at some point? Because it's not what I wanted.
I mean, I don't think this is being pessimistic. Where like chances are he's going to end his time at Texas getting fired.
Yeah, the very few people who get to call their shots at these type of programs.
Maybe in 25 years, after a crazy run, the greatest run of Texas basketball ever, then he either right before the season or in the middle of the season says, the landscape of college basketball has changed too much.
Because you can no longer pay players anymore?
Yeah.
That's how it changed. All right.
Now
enough.
We can't pay guys?
Yeah, we can't pay guys anymore. This is not what I signed up for. I'm out. So there it is. Texas has their guy, an established coach, with a little stink on him. But Xavier helped him clean that up.
Hey, the stink was paying DeAndre Ayton. That was the stink.
I think you mean dominating.
Yes, and they were a 3 seed or whatever in that tournament.
The stink was
lost to a 14 seed Buffalo team.
Don't say that.
Sorry. I mean, he does have a good tournament record.
He just happened to have the number one overall pick on his roster and lose to Buffalo.
He shouldn't have been the number one pick. That should have been Luka. Blame the Suns for that.
I can only go by what happened. And what happened was he had the number one overall pick and lost to Buffalo.
Don't love it.
It's not great, but it happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
FBI wiretap story really tanked that season.
Don't ask why there was a need for an FBI wiretap. Don't ask why, but hey, you got your man. We'll see how it goes.
Like his name,
Of course.
That's good. And spells it the right way.
The only thing you can take from it is the resume says he's better than Roddy Terry.
Yeah,
and he'll win a tournament game or two, and that's what you're looking for right now.
Yeah, make that really is like all of them, and this is like very whatever. This is having small-time goals. I really just want to make Sweet 16s regularly.
Getting to the second weekend is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Having that full week, first, of course, all the drama and stress, obviously if they're close games, all the drama and stress of getting through that first weekend, and then you have that whole 4 or 5 days to go, you know what? We're a Sweet 16 team.
Yeah.
We can take it. You can watch all the highlight videos of the first weekend, all the compilations, all the sound bites from all your players, and then you get ready. You start to ramp up for the Thursday or Friday game and see if you can get to the Elite Eight.
I mean, he's made 4 Elite Eights as a coach. I don't know how far in history I have to go back to 4 Texas Elite Eights. Like, it might actually be till T.J. Ford.
Well, you had one recently.
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Before that, 2008. Okay. One with LaMarcus Aldridge, and then I think one with T.J. Ford, where they made a Final Four. Sean Miller, just do that. Do what you did from, 2006, 2007 Xavier to 2018 Arizona. What happened after that? I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. All you want to do is be able to be in sniffing distance of a Final Four trip. That's all.
I'm not asking for Final Fours. There's been one Final Four in Texas basketball history. I don't. That's absurd.
I just want to have the chance
just
to play on Saturday or Sunday the second weekend.
I just want to be where Arkansas is right now.
Well, it's not a bad spot to be in. First year under John Calipari, already in a Sweet 16 from a 10 seed.
I would like to not be a 10 seed. I will say that. But
that means, yeah. Well,
Bankers can't be choosers.
You're in the SEC. You may be forced to have a 10 seed.
Oh, yeah. There's a 7th best team of the SEC, so they're a 10 seed.
Correct. The team here in our city, a 1 seed, and they're playing Purdue for a chance to go to the Elite Eight. That game's on a Friday, late night Friday. Go Cougs is all I can say about that. I said Cougs a lot, not go Cougs over the 2 days you were here, Michael Carroll, like Pavlov's dog, threw up the Cougs sign over and over again. Cougar Paul over and over again. No matter how many times I said it, when I said it, it always went up. It's just this thing.
Was that a pander move to Michael or?
No, I was just talking about Cougar basketball, and every time I did, the pause went up. There it is, just like you did there. That was the reaction.
Well, I just did it to show it.
No, I know, but that's how it went.
Okay.
That's how it went. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot of talk about the Texans offensive line, and they signed Trent Brown, but there's a lot of talk about them and their willingness to be photographed. Well, they're not the only team in town who's in on that. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And right now is the best time to get in on the action. You got college basketball on during the weekends. We just had a big weekend, a of college basketball. And you got the MLB season starting up. Baseball right around the corner on Thursday, opening day. You got basketball on every night, the professional game, if you want to get involved. You can do it on Prize Picks, and you can mix and match. In a time like this, this is the best time to get some mixing, some matching. So a little basketball here, a little baseball over there, maybe some golf if you're feeling frisky. You can do it on Prize Picks. All you have to do is download the Prize Pick app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks. Get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to make that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Do you follow any Rockets on Instagram?
No.
I didn't suspect you would. Not my bag either. I think I follow some teams, other people of interest, but no actual athletes at all. Except for like a rugby player who used to come to the station and promote his team, the SaberCats.
Yeah, but someone you've like
I've met
personally,
Sam
met. Yeah.
Windsor, who used to play for the SaberCats.
Yeah, my stance on it is, hey, like for LeBron or someone, it's like, hey, if he says anything
someone
or posts anything noteworthy, it'll come my way.
I don't need to follow. Yes, exactly. Missing out on all those Taco Tuesday drops, apparently.
I wasn't, because they would get reposted.
Very true. Very true. But you didn't get them instantaneously, Sean.
I know. I had to wait like
30 seconds, whatever, for someone to immediately grab them and post them. Well, you're missing out on what the Rockets are doing. Yeah, Texans in their O-line got criticized for being, let's say, conscious of the cameras and dressing for them and making sure they could post for photos. Where the Rockets, several of them have personal photographers. Dylan Brooks has one. Tarisson has one. Jalen Green has one. Albertson Goon has one. That's a lot of your core seven. I don't know what Reed Shepard has. Maybe he has to play more games before he can hire one. But for whatever reason, that tracks for the NBA. I imagine it wouldn't bother people as much, despite like the image of the Rockets being, you know, Fred VanVleet has one, by the way, too. Beyond the fact that, or beyond the whole hard charging, we play D, we're aggressive.
Yeah.
We also like to look good in photos, which doesn't shock me.
So do you think they all each have their own?
Well, a couple share.
I was going to say, because there's no need for 15 different
guys,
personal photographers.
As they walk in every day.
Guys, get your money, whatever. But also, I feel like you need one or two.
Well, they...
And then the actual team photographer.
It's more than that. It's more than one or two. Alperin has a personal one who
probably one of his boys from Turkey.
No, it's not.
Oh.
He did not know who to reach out to, so he had someone do it, and they picked someone. An agency found someone for him. It's not... Dylan Brooks, his boy from Canada, is his personal photographer.
Okay.
Fred VanVleet, I'm not sure if his is from Canada, too.
His boy from Wichita.
Yeah, I don't know.
From Wichita State.
That guy's pumping up the story. G League champion, NBA champion, undrafted, all that stuff.
One for eight.
Oh.
That doesn't get posted.
No. No, they allow the team photographers to do, like, what happens on the court. They're about...
who's the picture? My favorite thing in the politics behind who's the picture when the team has to post the final score after a loss.
Let's look at what they did last night.
Alperin had a triple... Can't actually post whoever had the worst game.
Alperin had a triple-double, but... And by the way, the story is from Daniel Lerner. She covers the Rockets for the Chronicle. You can find it. It's just... It's like, oh, okay. All these guys have tried to cultivate an image that they want you to see on Instagram. I thought maybe you just allow the team photographer to take your photo walking and you post it to the gram.
No,
several of them have people for that. So when they're walking in, and you know the team account will post whatever drip one of the guys is in there walking in. Trust me, there are like five other people waiting for their guy to take the photo, and that'll go on their personal social media.
Most of those guys don't really surprise me, just by like what we've learned, and especially the last 3 years. And the first 3 years for most of these guys on the Rockets, where they're really bad. So all you had to do is learn about, like, hey, you know, they're really into fashion or whatever it is. And so, like, I knew that Shingun liked to dress. I knew that Jalen Green liked to dress. The surprising ones are, and I knew Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks also from his Memphis days, where mm-hmm. you'd be like, I can't believe this guy's a goon, and he's wearing that on the
which,
way into the...
Which might say, not really a goon, just yeah. an, maybe just an agitator.
And then you go, oh, wait, he's from Toronto? Got it.
okay.
But Fred VanVleet and Tari Eason having one, that those are surprising, because I'm like, I don't think of Fred VanVleet as the... you know, I'm trying to be more than just a basketball player. I'm trying to be.
He's got a story to tell. I just told you the story that needs to be told that we all know. But
I thought that was more of a, you know, blue collar, never give up on your dreams, kid. You can be 5'10" and a point guard making $40 million a year.
But that's got to be documented for people to know. You can't just.
But I don't need pictures of him walking into the arena.
You don't think you do?
Maybe I do. Hey, you know what? Let me see his Instagram.
Look at his latest and see
if it's good enough, he might earn himself a follow.
Unlikely. The guy they chose to represent the team after the loss on the, hey, we lost, here's the final score, was Dylan Brooks.
Oof.
He had the best game. I mean, Jalen went for 30, but it was on 8 for 22. Dylan was 8 for 12, 5 of 8 from 3. Helped keep them in it. 21 points. That's a good choice. Alperen's triple. You got to be very conscious of what actually happened in the game to not use your triple-double guy as the picture. Yeah. Because you know what was going to happen. If they threw Alperen on there, yeah, he was 6 for 15. Who cares? He was 6 for 15. That I think maybe the admin's like, I don't need that. I don't need people talking about what his actual stats were. Give me the guy who you can't fight. Efficient, knockdown jumpers, 20-plus, plays his customary aggressive, agitating defense. Put Dylan Brooks on there. And probably from the team account that picture came from, not from his personal photographer.
Yeah. I'm looking at Fred VanVleet.
Are you looking at, okay, anything that would make you follow him?
No, absolutely nothing. Actually, I don't even think there's really anything that I would say necessitates you paying a personal photographer.
You think Fred's not getting his money's worth?
I don't really think so. I mean, they're fine pictures, but it, like, one of them is just a picture, like a still image from a post-game interview where they crop out Vanessa, and aww, it's in black and white.
I know why they do it, but that's, she can't be in the
photo. I can see her hand.
Okay.
And just says, and the caption is steady, and then a dice, or a die, a single die.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking at all these.
Damn, I love this bleep.
630.
Burning heart emoji.
I hope the 630,000+ followers enjoy Fred VanVleet's content, as that's the music that was playing under one of his highlights from this big game.
I looked at one of his stories. He was hanging out with Chad Ochocinco 47 minutes ago.
Well, the initial story is from his big game in Miami.
And okay. So he's still milking that? Okay.
22 hours ago, so still have it up.
Okay. I thought he'd... No, because the Chad Johnson one was from like 40 minutes ago.
Yeah. A lot of the more recent ones are from... Well, at least he posted like 50 minutes ago or so. But still from his time in Miami.
Yeah, trying to hide that stinker.
What? No stats? No videos from last night's game? Just videos from your time in Miami or pictures from your time in Miami? Chad Ochocinco, as you mentioned. So there it is. Your favorite Rockets... All, for the most part, have personal photographers. No Steven Adams. I didn't see him in the story.
Okay, so not my personal favorite Rocket.
Yeah, the guy you love the most, just getting rebounds, setting screens, no personal photographer.
Breaking up fights.
Yes, he is.
Merely by just towering over whoever is the aggressor.
Yeah, watching Steven Adams is pretty interesting because no one tries him. It's mostly because Steven Adams gives off the energy beyond the fact, okay, he's pretty big, you're not going to win this one, that he's not interested in any of that. He's not stepping to you. He's like, all right, buddy. It's pretty much like a tap. All right, man, let's go.
Yeah.
Like Russell Westbrook, former teammate, on a dunk, slapped Steven Adams in the head. Steven Adams just kind of gave him a look. Not a wrestling, trying nothing. Just keep going. It's not, nothing's happening here. It's not a bad way to go through life on the NBA court. No one tries anything with you. No one thinks you want to try. So they don't even bother you. You just go about your day playing basketball and being a silent enforcer, feels like, for the most part. So He was good. I mean, Steven Adams stats will tell you he's good on Twitter, but Steven Adams has been better than I thought he would be. That's one of those acquisitions you can credit them for having the foresight.
Yeah.
And will the double bigs become more of a thing in the playoffs? That will likely be matchup dependent, as Ime has talked about. But when they're on the court together, you don't get rebounds against the Rockets. Yeah.
Basically, since Adams has been healthy, because most of the first part of the season was just kind of maintenance, and you'd see him for 12 minutes or here and there. And it was always like, well, long game. We're bringing him back slowly. And I was a little worried that I was like, are we just not going to ever have this guy? And then in the playoffs, it's backup center Jock Landale time. And luckily, as of right now, that doesn't seem to be the plan. And yeah, of the last few weeks, throwing out even the single big, even when he's the only big on mm-hmm. the court, he's been really awesome.
You pair those two at a time with Amen and his ability. Like, Amen won't even really go for a rebound. He'll just slap the ball out of your hand while you're going up for it. Yeah. It'll go off the backboard, and then usually one of his teammates will get it.
Then Tari Eason is there. Yeah. Like, yeah.
His it's kind of uncanny that the fact that it feels like he's just aggressively slapping the ball out of guys' hands while they have it above their heads, and it winds up in the hands of another Rocket. It just creates so many more opportunities for them. Unfortunately, last night, they didn't make enough shots, as Ime talked about. The shooting kind of held them back, particularly from the backcourt. Jalen and Fred did not have a good night. So don't think their personal photographers will be taking shots from last night's game. Well, Jalen probably had a good dunk or two that they might be able to use. Okay, we got a couple more segments to go before we're done. If you want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. We'll get to some Astros because they have made some decisions on players who will be on the roster and others who won't. I don't know that the Cam Smith news has broken quite yet, although Jim Bowden thinks he will be on that roster. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Take it or leave it, but Fangraphs has a prediction. No team in the AL will win more than 90 games. That lofty spot in all of baseball is reserved for the Braves and the Dodgers. Dodgers at 98, Braves with 94. The Astros, according to Fangraphs, I think we've talked about this. It might not have been specifically Fangraphs. Maybe it was. That division race in the AL West is going to be tight. They have the Astros and Rangers tied at 84 wins in second place behind the Mariners at 85. So that kind of tracks with everything I've seen so far. People expect this to be one of those down-of-the-wire races. We'll lean Astros because until they prove otherwise, I'm going to take them. A couple guys who won't be available. Well, one guy who won't be and one guy who will be. Two guys' names you're very familiar with. One is John Singleton. He lost plenty of weight. He said it was the best shape he's been in his career. Didn't help him hit the baseball any. He was not good in spring, and that results in him not making the roster. A guy who feels like was destined to make this roster because of the salary he commands is Rafael Montero. He's back for another year. You guys ready for more? Not necessarily for Montero himself, but all the conversations about Montero to continue. I just hope he's good for the obvious reason that it helps the Astros. The other one is so this conversation can end. Like the Jeff Bagwell signing Montero. Yeah. That happened now 3 years ago.
It's the last year.
Yes, either way, right? But since it is the last year.
Or he balls out.
Or he's great, yeah. But I prefer that he has a good year to stop the conversation. I do hope it goes the other way where, you want to give Jeff his credit? See?
The Rafael Montero apology form.
It really would be the Jeff Bagwell apology form. Everyone was crushing Jeff. He just had the foresight to know it would take a couple years for Montero to be great again.
I will say what hurts the Jeff Bagwell apology tour is the fact that there's no way that Jose Abreu makes people go, you know
that's
what?
That's true.
We're too fast to judge.
It's tough because
He can only go one for two in the last year of their contracts, which have, for the previous 2 years for each of them, have been disastrous. Year one for both weren't disastrous.
Yeah, yes, they weren't.
Year two definitely disastrous.
And you'll give year three disastrous or Abreu because he's not even around. But Montero has
improvement off of last year.
It's better than the alternative of him being around. Yeah. But Montero has a chance to silence all of Jeff Bagwell's critics, not even his own. Can he get people off Jeff Bagwell's back for a year? A guy that Jeff Bagwell may have liked, but won't get credit for acquiring.
I'm doing this for Bagwell's haters, not even my own.
Not even mine.
Of which there are many.
He goes, I'm strong enough.
I can handle it.
The worst part about this is all the hate that Jeff's getting. That's how Montero operates. It's not even about me. It's about how people are going after a guy who believed in me. But a guy that Jeff Bagwell did not trade for, maybe he thought they should have, but this one goes under Dana Brown's resume, or on his resume, positive or negatively, and right now very positive, is Cam Smith. And James wants to talk about him. What's up, James?
Hey, guys. Yes, I want to get to Cam. What's up, Del? But I have to throw something in on y'all's conversation right now. I don't care if he throws a sub-2 ERA. They are not going to save Bagwell. Abreu debacle, the however many millions of dollars we lost on him last year and the crap show that he put out there the year before, no way.
Okay.
And I love Bagwell. I'm Houston born and raised, man. Bagwell bitch yo at heart. Anyway, so I just really wanted to get y'all's opinion and help segue into Cam Smith is – I know the clock starts, and I know that's been a big speculation on if he's going to make the roster and why, but as outfield needy as we are, I think there's something real in baseball that bringing guys up too early, putting up too much pressure on their shoulders and things like that, that really help or really hurt their development in their career. But I think we're good enough to where he doesn't have to put that weight on him. I'm still optimistic with this roster. It's still a championship breed in what's going on in Houston with the coaching staff and everybody else in the locker room. Do y'all share in my opinion that he adds value to the roster from day one and is a viable piece to help us win the division? And I'll hang up and listen.
The question will be, and this came out maybe a week and a half ago or so, how many of those at-bats are translatable? Because if he's going to hit like he did in spring, of course. But the stat that Chandler Rome put out was he was hitting against, and this was, like I said, a week and a half ago, he's had more at-bats. He was hitting against less than double-A pitching. If you combine all the pitchers he had faced, they averaged out to be less than a double-A pitcher. So can we take that into the season? The Astros apparently are. I mentioned Jim Bowden, former GM, now baseball analyst, is saying everything is leading to Cam Smith being on the roster. And if you go by what the local guys are saying, they're not going to keep Cam Smith on here to get at-bats here and there. If he's on the roster, he's going to start. He's going to play a lot. So does he add value? They're devoid of pop in the outfield. Well, at least from established outfielders. Altuve's out there. There's pop there. And, of course, we've done the whole, is he good defensive? Is he going to be average defensively? Is he going to be a disaster? Whatever. We've talked about that. It hasn't been great. We'll see what the season brings. I think he has value. If he is even, let's say he's a quarter of the guy we've seen in spring. Because a quarter of the guy we've seen in spring is still a good baseball player. Still a good bat. I don't expect greatness. I expect better than the alternatives. And I think that's where the Astros are leaning. I know baseball people concern themselves with starting the clock. I don't care about that. Can he play and can he help? You can deal with all that stuff. Like, I know it's real. I know it's not. I know it's something they think about, but it's not something I care about.
They're not going to re-sign him anyway. Who cares?
There's a point that maybe that's why you don't want to start the clock, because you're going to have him for a short amount of time. You're never going to bring him back.
Yes, but you also need to win your division this year. More than you have to worry about 6 years from now.
Yes. We don't know what he's going to be, although you read a Chandler Rome article and people are talking about him being the next 60 home run guy. Not this year, but eventually.
Yeah. So I think that was Dubon.
So, yeah, Dubon's all in on Cam Smith.
Five of them.
Yeah.
It's like Judge, Stanton. I don't even know who else. Active guys.
Oh, active guys. I mean, Mauricio, please. Calm down, please, with that. But either way, that's the positivity coming from inside the camp about Cam Smith, from the coaches to the players. He has done all he can do, and it looks like because the Astros are devoid of talent in the outfield and how great he's been, he's going to play and start. Now the question is, how bad would it have to be for them to go, oops, this was a mistake? Will he get the same leeway that Bregman got? Bregman started 1 for 32.
I was going to say, Bregman.
Can he be as bad as Bregman?
No.
And remain up?
No.
No? Why not? They are more desperate than they were, right? When did Bregman come up?
2016.
So it was in the middle
like,
of...
September, or August, September.
So it was the season after they made the playoffs.
Yes,
and
they were...
It was also the season they could never beat the Rangers, so they weren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're hanging around in the division, but they weren't like... But
the Rangers dominated them that year, I believe. So that kept them out of the playoffs. In fact, they were better against the rest of the league than the Rangers were.
Yes.
It's just that the Rangers kicked their ass, so the Rangers made the playoffs. Early in the year... I can't imagine him being as bad as Bregman was. That was terrible. Considering
one
for 32. Considering all the hype, people were like, "Okay,
that's like six games of one hit." Like, I don't know if he definitely wouldn't start six straight games if he goes 1 for 30 to start things off. If it's a stretch in the middle,
they might.
Like if he starts whatever, just to keep using 30. If he starts 10 for 30 and then goes 1 for 30. And then, like, maybe they still give him some leeway. But if he just starts it like Bregman did, like, nah.
Yeah. And it'll be about his mental fortitude. If they see that that's getting to him, he's not taking the same approach.
Yeah, he's also a guy who barely played in Double A.
Yeah, he doesn't have...
If he comes up and stinks, you know what the thought process is? Maybe you should try Double A before throwing him into the majors.
Considering the numbers would say he wasn't even beating up on Double A pitching when he was great in spring.
Yeah.
It's an experiment, one they're kind of forced into by the moves they've made or the ones they haven't made, but he's made it a viable experiment. We'll just see how it plays out. We haven't gotten that word yet, but the expectation is Cam Smith will be on the roster and likely starting in right field with who? Jake Meyers in center and Altuve. Maybe Dubon in center. I don't know what they're going to do there.
Yeah.
But it feels like Jake Meyers has been cemented in center field for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Dana Brown.
Rightfully so.
Dana Brown, he's done all he can.
Well, I mean,
Dana Brown said before last year that Jake Meyers was a center fielder, and we're like, why? And he got all the plate appearances, so they weren't wrong about him playing in the outfield.
I mean, this is a team that started.
Dana Brown wasn't wrong about it.
This is a team that's starting a second baseman in left field and a third baseman who's had five at bats at Double A in right field. Like, I don't want to also get a center fielder two on top of his plate because God knows where he would find this guy. But it'd be, hey, congratulations, John Singleton. You made the roster. You're playing center field.
He'd throw Ort in center.
Yeah. Two-way Ort.
Yeah. And you think – you laid it out. And we got to go to break here. Think about the construction of this roster. Forget about Altuve's legendary status. You've never played outfield before. Go out there at 30-plus years old. Hey, we just acquired you for a star right fielder. You've never played outfield before. You go out there and we'll see how it goes. And we'll have a bad offensive center fielder and one with a bad arm. But at least he can go run down balls. That's our outfield. And we think it's the right way to move.
Hey, Dana, did you try to sign any outfielder?
Nah, we're still waiting on Bregman, even though we weren't really in on Bregman. We would tell people we were, but we weren't really. We like what we did. Brendan Rodgers, bring in another.
Yeah.
Bring in another infielder.
We're moving Altuve in case we sign Bregman. So that's why we're moving him. And then Bregman doesn't sign. Yeah, we're still moving him. For Brendan Rodgers this time. Huh? Everyone likes this?
It's better the sell we did it for Bregman. Don't start with the Brendan Rodgers as a sell. That's a bad way to go about it. As much as we're making fun of him, he chose the right way going about it.
Okay, it's whoever wins the competition in spring between Rodgers and Guillaume.
That's a bad sell. Know your audience. Don't sell it that way.
It could be Luis Guillaume. We don't know.
Once again.
Meritocracy.
They seem poorly constructed.
I do wonder why this team couldn't sign a like $5 million per year outfielder. Just to have a guy who can play outfield.
Think if Cam Smith wasn't doing what he was doing. Where would they be?
Chaz McCormick.
Oh, that feels
hero
good.
Of the 2022 playoff run.
Chaz and Jake and Altuve in the outfield. Cool. At least Cam Smith has delivered hope that this might not work out. That this might work out.
Yeah.
And even what does workout mean for a rookie right fielder who's never done it before? What does even workout mean?
Hit like 20 home runs.
Yeah, we're just going to put 20 home runs on him.
That is what people like. That's the thought process, is that you'll be a good enough hitter that it doesn't matter that you haven't played right field before.
That is the Astros approach. And he's been better in right than Altuve has been by a wide margin.
He's caught baseballs.
He's made plays in foul territory.
He's been able, with his feet moving and with his feet standing still,
there have been no viral mistakes by Cam Smith so far.
Even if
the
guy's tagging up, he still catches it. That's crazy.
And what Sean is referencing is what Espada said last week. The common thread for Altuve's issues were him trying to get the ball in quickly because he didn't want people to run on him when they were tagging up from third. Yeah, I'd just have you catch the ball first. You work on that other stuff later. Let's perfect catching the baseball. And he'll have, 120 starts to do that? Hopefully. Hopefully he gets it done before we get into the summer. All right, we got one more segment to go before we wrap it up. Paul Gallant is up next, but we will be back.
ESPN.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We got a couple of minutes to go before we're out of here. Trent Brown signs for the Texans. So, that Trent Brown, Laken Tomlinson, Ed Ingram, and why am I blanking on this guy's name now? Oh, Cam Robinson. Those are your four acquisitions on the offensive line. So the Texans have attacked the position much in the same way they did the defensive interior last go-round, where it's like Mario Edwards, Tim Settle. Of course, Nico Autry was a big name, and his season was short-circuited by a drug suspension, PEDs. And also, he was okay last year. Probably didn't give them what they wanted. But this is what this feels like. We're just going to grab bodies and see what works. Unfortunately, the difference is the Texans have Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson on that defensive front. So no matter how poor the evaluation was of some of those defenders, and actually those guys did pretty well. Folu Fatakasi, throw him in there as well. Folu Fatakasi. They had two bookends who can get it done, and the rest of those guys were okay. They don't have really anyone you can trust, but they're trying. Maybe it gives them the opportunity not to be so offensive line focused once the draft rolls around. Do they have any high end talent on that roster right now? You could guess Blake Fisher because he was a day two pick, but other than that, got to go back to that word I used last offseason. Bunch of Jags, but I don't want you to see that as a pejorative. It's just simply what the acronym says. Just another guy. They're just guys.
I mean, it is a pejorative.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to insult them. I'm just saying
it's I love it. We have a bunch of Jags.
I know, but when you hear Jag, it makes you think bad player. I'm not saying they're bad players.
Yeah,
although they were bad players last year. I'm just saying they're just dudes. There's no plus players that they've acquired yet. They're just gathering enough guys that whether they make the roster or not, you're going to try to raise the floor of what was not a good room last year.
Yeah, you're hoping that one or two of these guys can be, like, playable.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is they tried that with corner, and luckily they drafted a good one, or it would have been Okuda and Henderson. Yeah. And neither one of them was playable. One guy didn't make it out of camp. So maybe the draft is how you go again to mitigate the risk of just taking guys on that no one really wanted. I mean, the Patriots, who were desperate for offensive line help, were like, you know what, Cam Robinson, you got bad football character, and you allowed the most pressures of any lineman last year. We'll pass. We're desperate, but we'll pass. Texans were like, we'll give you. We're desperate too, but more than you apparently, because we're going to give you not a bad deal for a guy who was on the market with not much interest. So Trent Brown in. He's big, massive, has some injury issues, didn't play a lot. Does that make you feel better?
No.
Hit in the draft is what I'll say. Hit in the draft. I don't care if it's the first round or the second round. Find someone in the draft that you can start right away. That wraps it up for us. Paul Gallant is up next, followed by the Killer Bees. We got a busy week. We're going to be at East River 9, the entire station. Then on the next day, where are we? Not us, but...
I forgot where they are, because I'll be here.
Oh, yeah, because you will be producing both days. You won't be engineering, so if it ain't affecting John, he ain't paying attention. Sean ain't paying attention. It's in an email. I'll read it tomorrow or something. I forgot. All right, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. I'll talk tomorrow.